We're going to pray and then look at God's word together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open your word to our hearts this morning. Give us keen minds too to understand the words before us, so that we might understand Jesus more fully and through him come to know you better. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In this post-truth world we live in, it's hard to know which way to turn, isn't it? Just about given up on the internet or the news. I mean, who can you trust? The protesters this week, they've either been angry tradies in their high-vis vests or maybe right-wing radicals pretending to be tradies who are just faking it. One side says one thing, the other side the opposite. I'm reading people online who are saying COVID-19 is a hoax, that it's a plan to bring down democracy and take away our freedoms, a hoax that's playing out all over the world. And then on the other hand, people are saying that the conspiracy runs the other way and the anti-vax, ultra-right, anarchist groups are conspiring to bring down the left. Anyway, I'm vaxxed to the max, which hopefully will be helpful. And for everything else, I'm just a spectator who appreciates, by and large, what our state and federal leaders are trying to do to get herd immunity when your herd is a herd of cats. I don't actually think they've got the time or the energy to come up with a conspiracy beyond that. So I guess even for that reason, I'm prepared to trust them. I'm putting my faith in Dan and Brett and Scott and AstraZeneca. But of course, I could be wrong. Now, all of that is just by way of introduction to the question, how much more difficult is it to know the truth when we're talking about spiritual truths? When you're looking for someone you can trust to tell you about the things of heaven, how much harder to find one you can put your faith in then? Nicodemus thinks he's found a contender in this new rabbi called Jesus of Nazareth. Nicodemus is a member of the Jewish ruling council. And because Jesus is held under suspicion by his colleagues, Nicodemus comes to him at night under cover of darkness and opens with what sounds like a big endorsement. Rabbi, he says, teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Interesting though, isn't it? The end of chapter 2, where our reading started, John tells us there are lots of people impressed by the signs he's performing, and Jesus doesn't entrust himself to them because he knows what they're like. We've been forewarned, in a sense, Jesus is not particularly impressed by the kind of people who are only looking for miracles because he wants to be trusted in a deeper way, which ultimately means taken at his word. I wonder if you can sense the difference. So here's Nicodemus, teacher, member of the Sanhedrin ruling council, coming to Jesus at night, impressed by the signs he's been hearing about, which makes you wonder if Jesus is going to be open with him or not, which isn't immediately obvious when you see what happens next, because the conversation that plays out is kind of cryptic. It's got a word play in it that leads to a misunderstanding that I suspect is not even perfectly clear today. Jesus uses a word that is deliberately ambiguous, which makes me suspect he's not particularly even trying to be obvious. But at the same time, the question is, what does Nicodemus actually mean when he says, you're a teacher who's come from God? Used to be that show on TV, Thank God You're Here. Comedians dropped into the middle of unlikely scenarios and will say those words sometimes when the right person turns up at exactly the right time. The RACV van, when you've just broken down, you're a godsend. Is that what he means? Or Rabbi, we know you're somehow inspired because you're putting on such a good show. Well, get ready for some ambiguous wordplay. Sometimes, of course, in English, the same word can have two completely different meanings. We call them homonyms, and we learned about them in second grade at school. Words like ball, are you going to throw it, or is it a dance? Or bat, is it a flying mammal, or something you use playing cricket? Even cricket could well be an insect, or is it a game? Now, the Greek language has homonyms too, which are great if you enjoy wordplay. And the key word here in Greek is the word anothen, which means on the one hand again, and equally means from above. As you'll see in the footnote of any printed Bible, it can perfectly well mean either of those things. Same word, looks the same, sounds the same, spells the same. But it's funny, most Bibles seem to translate the same word anothen as again in verse 3, and then the other way in verse 31. When I want to suggest this morning we keep it consistent, and so read verse 3 this way, as I put it in the printed version in the order of service. Jesus replies, verse 3, "Very truly I tell you, unless one is born from above, anothen, he cannot know the kingdom of heaven." Which at this point isn't particularly controversial, but flowing from that, the next thing I'm going to suggest is a little bit out of the ballpark. And it's just a suggestion, but I suspect, with the thought in mind that at this point Jesus is actually talking about himself rather than Nicodemus, we can make better sense of the passage. By far the most common reading has always been that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "Your problem, friend, is that you need to become a born-again Christian." All one word, born again, like the Americans say. And that revivalist idea of being born again as some kind of dramatic conversion experience has taken on a life of its own, which, if that's been your experience, I'm not against at all. Except that I think it's not quite what the verse is getting at. And it isn't always necessarily going to be the norm. Because here's the point. If you've been with us in this series since John chapter 1, and you can listen online if you missed it, you might be aware already over and over again, John has been highlighting the question of where Jesus himself has come from. Right from chapter 1, verse 1, he is the one who has literally been born from above. The Word became flesh. He is the one who has literally come from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the one born not just the natural way, but born of the Spirit. Which means when Nicodemus politely says, "Oh, we know you're a teacher who's come from God," Jesus is responding, "I think you're right. I am born from above. I am born of God. Because no one can understand the kingdom of God unless they've come from there like I have. Anything else would just be guesswork. I'm not just a God-inspired teacher with a few good party tricks. Here's the claim. I am born from above. So I know exactly what I'm talking about." Now, of course, anothen genuinely has both meanings. And at first, Nicodemus takes it the other way in verse 4. "What do you mean, go back in your mum and be born a second time? How do you do that?" But he's missing the point. Because again, there's this bigger question that runs through John's gospel like a six-lane highway through a quiet country town of where does Jesus really come from? Because Nazareth is not a good enough answer. Nathanael starts it back in chapter 1. Nazareth is just a two-bit town like Dalesford or Jindaby, which is why he's so sceptical. Nazareth, can any good thing come from there? Slip ahead to chapter 9. Jesus heals a blind man and the religious leaders are furious because it's on the Sabbath day. They're quizzing the blind man who says to them, "Now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes." Can you see, his origin is the central issue. Where does he come from? Or the climax, chapter 19, Roman governor Pontius Pilate, his big question to Jesus, where do you come from? He asks Jesus. But Jesus gives him no answer. So back to chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with all born of the Spirit, which you see at this point is only Jesus himself. Because at this point in the story, he is the only one born of the Spirit. Who can tell where he's come from? It's the question on everyone's lips. At this point, it's only really Jesus and John the Baptist who are speaking of what they know, who really get it, who are bearing witness to the truth. So here's the point. Jesus says to Nicodemus, I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? Because he says, I really am the one who's born from above. I really am the one who's born of both water, human birth, and the Spirit, born of God. And I really can speak to you about heavenly things, and yet you still don't get it. So get this in plain English. Here's what it's all been about. No one, says Jesus, has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Only me. Now, friends, here's the thing. Forget Nicodemus for a minute. Step forward 2,000 or so years, and here's the contentious claim. It is still only Jesus who's got that kind of access to ultimate reality. And he shared it with us. There are all kinds of people with all kinds of ideas about God. And of course, that is a basic human right. But there are people who will say, well, I like to think of God this way. People will tell you they're very spiritual and you should listen to them. But it's still only Jesus who's qualified. You know, back in the days when you could travel, when you'd talk to a travel agent and they're showing you the brochures for a holiday destination, well, that's one thing. But if they could say, I've been there, it makes all the difference in the world. It gives a new authority. Well, that's Jesus, local knowledge. So when you get people who say things like, well, I don't like to think of God as being a father, that's patriarchal. Or I prefer to think of God as being tolerant over and above judgmental. I'll only believe in a nice God. Jesus says, and it's a big claim, I am the one who's from there. I'm the one who's been introduced back in chapter 1 as God's word become flesh. So how about you take it from me as the ultimate God revealer? Which you'll notice is exactly what John the Baptist has been saying about him as well from verse 31. Because it's a summary, in a sense, of exactly the same point. John the Baptist has built up a big following, and some of his followers come to him concerned that Jesus is now baptizing too, growing a bigger following. John the Baptist says this. He says, compared to him, I'm nothing. If I'm the best man, then he is the bridegroom. He must become greater. I must become less. Now, follow with me the words from verse 31, because it's a good wrap-up of what I've been saying. John says, verse 31, the one who comes from above, the Greek word anothen again, is above all. The one who's from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. That's me, says John. The one who comes from heaven is above all. That's Jesus. He testifies to what he has seen and heard. But no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Now, again, that's the claim. In a post-truth world, the world we live in, it is hard to know which way to turn. Who can you trust? John says taking Jesus at his word actually works in making life work. He has the words of life. And it may be that you yourself can testify to that fact from your own experience, that when you do take Jesus at his word, when you do decide to trust him, in fact, it does mark out a whole new beginning, a new start. Maybe not so much a born-again experience as a transfer of birthright. Not just as that from the blue, but a completely changed status with God. That when you catch on to, really is life-changing. John the Baptist says Jesus, who comes from above, is above all and testifies to what he's seen and heard. Yet by and large, people just don't accept his testimony. That's the problem we see playing out in John's gospel and again, even today. Except for maybe Nicodemus dipping one toe in the water, will he actually put his faith in Jesus or not? You might think faith is a nebulous, mysterious thing, but it's actually fundamental to the kind of trust transactions that we make every day. Will you trust your doctor for vaccine advice? Or will you put your faith in the people on Facebook who tell you to take horse medicine instead? Who are you going to rely on? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to have faith in when your life might depend on it? Or can you trust the person beside you on your wedding day when they say, I'll be faithful to you above all others? Can they trust you when you say the same? That's ultimately a faith question. And sometimes, sadly, faith can be badly misplaced. It is a fragile, scary thing, isn't it, trust like that? But in the case of deciding whether or not to invest that kind of trust in Jesus, it is life-changing, a complete reset point. John's already told us in chapter 1, the start of the book, sure, he says most of Israel rejects him and everyone else as well. Take notice of this. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born from above, which is actually on offer to Nicodemus as well, which means not relying on his status as a Jewish teacher or a member of the ruling council, not on his Presbyterian heritage and forebears, but on saying, I hear what Jesus is saying, and come hell or high water, I'm going to trust him with my life. That is the point of a fresh start. Born from above, child of God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending into our world your Son, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, born as one of us, and yet coming from above. We thank you that he has revealed you. We thank you that as we put our trust in him, we truly come to know you and be called your children. Father, that is a great privilege, and we pray that we would dwell on these things today and understand them afresh. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.